This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Well, Congress just ended another session where members had to debate stem cell research, bioweapons, energy alternatives, and many other complicated scientific issues. Most senators and congressional representatives aren't scientists, so they need help from experts in forming opinions and making decisions on how to vote. But which experts have the ears of Congress? Is Congress getting accurate, impartial scientific advice? From 1972 to 1995, Congress could turn to its own in-house experts at the Office of Technology Assessment. OTA staff used to hold their own hearings with scientists, prepare their own reports for Congress on tricky scientific issues like nuclear weapons tests. But the Clinton administration, out to balance the federal budget, closed down OTA in 1995. And without OTA, there's mounting concern about the type of scientific advice Congress is getting now. So last week, the House Committee on Science held hearings to consider alternatives in the wake of OTA's demise. Among the experts who testified was a congressman who is a scientist, Representative Rush Holt. He's a physicist who left Princeton University, and now he represents Princeton's district in Congress. He's very concerned about what he calls real gaps in what Congress gets, and he's suggesting some improvements. Rush Holt is a U.S. representative for the 12th District in New Jersey. He joins us today from his district office in West Windsor, New Jersey. Welcome back to Science Friday.
Ira, it's always good to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Tell me about this gap you're talking about. What real gap is there?
Well, you know, we in Congress don't suffer from a lack of information. In fact, we're probably inundated with more input on any issue than probably anybody else in the world. But there's a lack of, I think, ability to glean the knowledge, to gauge the validity, the credibility, the usefulness of the large amount of information that we get. We'd like to believe that all of the information we get about subjects that have technological components is unbiased and complete and simple and digestible, but it's not. So we need unbiased technical scientific assessments that's in a time frame that Congress can use, that's in a language that Congress understands and that is written with the workings of Congress in mind. And as you said, for 23 years, the Office of Technology Assessment did that. And in a fit of congressional reform, when the majority changed a little over a decade ago, OTA was defunded, and this agency that produced, many dozens of assessments a year, so these would be report-length studies that were produced, in the hundreds, ultimately, ceased.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking basically to recreate the OTA?
Well, something like that. You mentioned some of the things that Congress has been considering this year, and you might add to your list mine safety, net neutrality, communication compatibility for emergency first responders, or offshore drilling, or port security, or pandemics, or reactions to vaccines, or productions of vaccines. I mean, there's a wide range of issues that have technological components, and we need help. If we're going to be honest with ourselves, I think most members of Congress would admit we need help. Sometimes members of Congress are not going to admit that we need help because they like, in some cases or other, the biased information they get. But more often than not, I would say my colleagues are unaware of, even oblivious to, the technological components of some of the issues we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. How do you think, how expensive, I mean, if you mentioned before that this was eliminated because it was a money-saving exercise.
It wasn't exactly a money-making, you're right, that was one of the ostensible reasons for cutting the funding. At the time, I think it was $21 million.
Paperclips
there was
in Congress.
A staff of about 100 professionals who were on the full-time congressional payroll.
Right. Right.
And as I say, they produced many dozens of reports a year on, well, some of the of the titles that of studies that were produced were Teachers and Technology, Saving Energy in U.S. Transportation, Retiring Old Cars, Aquaculture, Electronic Surveillance in the Digital Age, Privacy and Network Environments, Bioenergy Crop Production. You're going to be talking, I guess, a little bit about that in mm-hmm. this program. So those were the kinds of studies that were produced. I think a bargain at any price.
Right.
But to recreate something on the scale of the Office of Technology Assessment, you'd need, several tens of millions of dollars. Now, I think the money that would be saved from bad decisions would make up for that probably in a month. But certainly it's better for the people's legislators to be legislating with knowledge rather than in ignorance.
Have you found any support for this idea?
Oh, sure, sure. I think the, I didn't really fully answer your question before. It wasn't exactly a cost-saving effort. It was that Congress should show the public that we don't, this was before I came to Congress, I should say, but the arguments that were advanced were that Congress shouldn't get any special help. We shouldn't have any special perks. And anything that could be outsourced or privatized should be. So that in this case, they were saying, well, we don't need a congressional agency. We can go to the National Academies of Science, use their National Research Council to do studies, or go to the local university somewhere, or use the Library of Congress Research Service to look things up for us. Various arguments like that were advanced, none of which really hold up, it seems to me.
And, of course, you have all those lobbyists who flood you with their own data.
Well, as I said, there's no shortage of data coming before Congress, and there's no shortage of prescriptions for what we should be doing. There is a place for interest groups to petition Congress and interested citizens to petition Congress. In order to put those in perspective and to sort out, fact from fiction and to provide some balance, something like the Office of Technology Assessment would be invaluable.
Is there going to be some action on this? It can't happen this year.
There is a lot of the opposition from 1995, I think, has subsided. A number of the, in fact, the real enemies of OTA are no longer serving in Congress. And we've had 10 years of experience now where we can point to the fact that all of these other sources of information that were going to provide everything that had been provided by OTA didn't. I mean, we've got 10 years of experience now where those organizations didn't provide what we need in Congress. And there are, what bothers me the most are not the obviously technical issues, things that are, say, referred to the Science Committee for consideration. In those cases, we usually get the kind of analysis that we want. What bothers me more are all of those issues, a myriad of issues that are not obviously scientific or technological issues, but have scientific or technological components. An example that you've talked about on your program before is voting. Now, you don't think of that as a technological issue, but now we've come to understand that electronic voting machines have some potential problems. Most members of Congress would not have thought to get any sort of technological advice or assessment on the issue of voting. I could list any number of issues that are not obviously technological. What worries me is that all of those subjects go unremarked, unanalyzed, and we're worse off for it.
Do you think we will have to wait to see the outcome of this this year's November elections before we know if something's going to happen or not?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think that this isn't a partisan matter, but I do think that if asked, a constituent would say, I would prefer that my representative in Congress had had this kind of assessment available to her or him rather than having them act in ignorance.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine in this day and age people not being in favor of something like this.
You know, it's considering how much it costs to run a legislative branch of government, we're not talking about a big budget item, and there are just too many issues in front of us today that have technological components. And in some cases, the analysis can eliminate some of the decisions in front of us. In other words, you know, just kind of the facts of life, the laws of physics, will render some of the considered solutions improbable or impossible. That in itself is a real advantage to kind of clear the table a little bit. Also, it means that you can, as I said before, kind of balance the various input that you're getting from interest groups.
Right.
I think of missile defense. I mean, there are some things that have been, some claims that have been made for a national missile defense that just simply don't meet with the laws of physics and the facts.
We're going to have to. I know there are a lot more topics you could hit on, and I wish I had more time to talk about them, but I think you made the point, and I want to thank you for taking time to talk with us, and good luck to you.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Ira. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Rush Holt, U.S. Representative from the 12th District in New Jersey, Democrat from New Jersey, talking from West Windsor. Stay with us. We're going to switch gears and come back and talk about corn and ethanol. We'll be right back after this break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.